Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're back here on the Second Guest Show. Mike Dottillo, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Wilson Alexander, who covers the LSU Fighting Tigers for the Baton Rouge Advocate, New Orleans Advocate. And Wilson, thanks so much for joining us this Labor Day afternoon. We appreciate it. And, man, nothing's going on at LSU, right? Man, good Lord. Either you got a lot of news or you don't have any. But, man, after what happened yesterday and the kind of firestorm of events that's happened since, and certainly, man, just terrible news about Mason Smith. And, you know, I've known him for a few years. He didn't live that far from me. His family doesn't. And I know how hard he worked this offseason, lost some weight, got physically, got stronger in the upper body, because he was a guy that could tilt the field. And to see on a sort of a freak play for him to hurt his knee, it's, you know, listen, things can happen to you in this world a lot of different ways, but that wouldn't have been one of them. I'd have thought that's how he got hurt.
No, it wouldn't have been, because, after, you know, he jumped. After making really an impressive play, you know, he blew past two offensive linemen, helped create a tackle for a loss for one of his teammates, jumps up to celebrate that, comes down on the left knee awkwardly, and, you know, unfortunately has torn his ACL and will miss the remainder of the season. And you're right, it's just heartbreaking for Mason, because he was in line, or at least seemed in line, for such a good year. He, like you said, put in a lot of work in the offseason. Coaches and teammates were raving about him throughout the preseason. He was just blowing stuff up whenever we get to see practice. And, you know, this is going to be a really tough loss for LSU to overcome without him in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, the good thing is he's a young cat. He'll come back from this, be ready for 2023. I know his work ethic and how much he loves the game. But for 2022, that's a big loss for LSU, because you can say next man up, but the next man ain't in his area code as a player. Not even close.
No, certainly not. You know, Mekhi Wingo and Jacoby Guillory are going to be the kind of next men up after him. Mekhi in particular seems to be the one playing quite a bit when Mason left the game against Florida State. And, you know, he was an all-SEC freshman over at Missouri last year, had a solid year. But he doesn't have Mason's, you know, physical attributes. He's certainly not as tall. He's about, I think, 295 pounds. You know, LSU was impressed with him during offseason workouts. He got an award for how he performed during those. But, you know, he's not, you know, Mason Smith, a five-star, one of the highest-rated players in his class coming out of high school, a guy who was expected to be a star. You know, Mekhi, they're going to need to kind of mix and match some guys there. You can't just throw one person in there and think he's going to play like Mason Smith. But Mekhi Wingo and Jacoby Guillory, you know, the next man up there alongside Jacqueline Roy.
Now, Wilson, what is your take on obviously we had concerns going back to the offseason and now in the training camp and you know, August practice and starting the season with the O-line. I'm looking at last year. I think you might have wrote this piece where they allowed like 38 sacks, an average of 2.9 per game, so basically three sacks a game. And then I'm looking at, man, Jalen Daniels, his mobility, and he was sacked four times. So where do you think we at right now with the O-line, because I think if, I don't know, if it had been someone that's not as mobile as Jane Daniels, they might have got sacked 6-7 times or 8.
They probably would have. Jane Daniels did a lot to create in this game and just keep drives alive, keep plays alive. You know, there were certainly some times where he ducked his head too early and should have kept his eyes downfield probably a little bit longer, or you know, made a quicker throw. There was like a crossing route with Kayshon that the ball that Kayshon dropped. He was wide open earlier in that route, and if Jaden sees it, you know, a second or two, earlier him crossing the field, you know, maybe you give Kayshon room to run, and maybe that's a touchdown. And you know, the drive ended up fine. I think that was the one where LSU scores on the 22-yarder to Jerae Jenkins. But that's a situation where you know Jaden's going to have to continue to improve. But yeah, this offensive line, if you don't have him back there, it's further exposed. This was not a great game by any stretch of the imagination for the offensive line. Gave up a lot of pressure. Those four sacks plus all the times Jaden had to scramble. They kind of have what they have in terms of personnel, but it'll be interesting to see what LSU does schematically to maybe adjust for that, because when they started using tempo in a quick passing game there at the end of the third quarter into the fourth, that's when LSU had those three straight drives with a touchdown. And the offensive line, you didn't see them nearly as much. There were still some bad plays in there and some pressure, but it kind of helped make up for the fact that they were struggling.
Now, when you talk about schematics and scheme and what you're doing, I hold the coaches accountable. Now, the players got to go out there and do it because you have to be disciplined, know what you're doing. I'm talking about special teams. And everyone looks, oh, the kicker, he got the kick blocked or he missed it. But our protection, field goal protection, extra point protection, it was like horrendous. I mean, that's why I'm looking at Brian Pullian, the special teams coach, like, what are you doing in your meetings? Do y'all have a walkthrough on the field to show the steps you have to take to field goal protect or for an extra point? I'm looking at what occurred on that extra point. And it's a combination. Mason Taylor first, but Emory Jones didn't do the proper footwork. And you got to be like an accordion, how they got to work all together and be cohesive. And you never get beat on the inside. That's like even high school. That's football 101, how this is how you do not block for an extra point.
Yeah, that was pretty ugly. And, you know, you have to even go back to the first block, the field goal, 30-yard attempt there in the second quarter. Florida State rushes seven guys on the left side of the line. LSU's only got five blockers to that side. And Jared Verse, you know, just sort of burst through between Cameron Wire and Tremont Shorts. It looked like FSU just sort of overloaded on one side and took advantage of a numbers matchup. Tremont Shorts got like pushed to the ground, and you know they ended up making a personnel change and switching some things around, putting Emory Jones on that left side instead, along with Miles Frazier, and then of course Mason as the guy kind of on the far end, and then Bradford, you know, further inside. They only had four, and Florida State rushed six against them, and again, kind of numbers thing, and they didn't, like you said, that accordion is a good metaphor there. They didn't bend all together and move as one piece. And again, same thing happened. You know, Brian Kelly said we made an adjustment after the field goal, made a switch in personnel. That didn't work either. That's on us. So that's something that they're going to have to figure out, because, I mean, that's some pretty basic stuff that you would have thought would have been addressed during the preseason, and now it's spilling over into the season and costing you games.
Wilson, one of the things that we saw Mason missing that block, but man, as a receiver, I mean, he showed some big-time talent. He's a big, tall drink of water, and he can run. And you don't realize how big he is until you stand up next to him. He ain't no small guy for 18 years old. I mean, he's a legit 6'5", 250-pound 18-year-old. And that, he got open, made the catches, that sort of thing. So I think you're going to see more and more of Jaden Daniels targeting him, because he trusts he's going to be in that spot where he's supposed to be.
Yeah, Mason, you know, he had a really solid debut. He ended up with, I think, four catches for 50-something yards. And as LSU started using that tempo, got him even more involved. And, of course, he did, it was almost a little bit scary there at the end, but did a good job of I guess, at least getting down past the marker so that LSU could run one more play. And he was just steady hands, same kind of things that we'd seen back in the preseason. You know, he's big, like you said, as a target. He was really involved in kind of those quick outs and underneath routes. You know, not maybe the tight end is going to take the top off of a defense yet, especially with what else you had at receiver. But he's sort of that reliable outlet that gives you another dimension in the passing game. And Jaden Daniels did seem to trust him. Ended up being LSU's second or third leading receiver in this game, as a you know, even ahead of Malik Nabers and Kayshawn. And he ended up having a solid debut. You know, he needs to probably improve as a blocker, as particularly when he's having to kind of sit back there and help out in pass pro. But that's stuff that's going to come with, you know, with time. And at least right now, he's a pretty steady receiver.
Now, Wilson, do you get an explanation why it's third down, Kayshawn Boutte? I mean, how are you not looking for the ball? You have a touchdown. I mean, on that play, I mean, if we talked about this earlier. Come on, if you want to be like Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and all, you got to come up big time. Contested throws at the beginning of the game now. Good for the Florida State defensive back. He didn't come down with it. But to me, on that third down and that slant route, Jaden Daniels, I mean, you can't pout. You have to be the number one receiver. You got to, you know, that's a couple of touchdowns you have right there. It's not like he wasn't targeted. He got targeted six times. I mean, did you find out any tidbit about that or something? Like, what was he thinking on that play? Was he worried about the safety was going to tattoo him or hit him or what?
That was a bizarre play, but you go back to the one, I think right before that or soon before that, it looked like he was going to get targeted, and the ESPN feed showed this, that he sort of, I think there was maybe a whistle, blew the play dead, and he's clearly frustrated. And even at a different point in the game, he's on the sideline frustrated, and Jaden Daniels is trying to talk to him. The reasons behind that, other than just not getting targeted and not being involved and, not having his first catch until the fourth quarter, I don't know if there's anything other than that. Brian Kelly said that, this is an instance where, player probably pressing and trying to do too much. And, Brian Kelly said putting, a lot on himself and that he's going to have to, as coaches, they're going to have to kind of work with him on that. It was strange all around, for LSU. And Kayshawn, Wilson, the way he had sort of showed up.
That was one of the more bizarre games. Now, I know opening season, sometimes you get some crazy stuff, but that is a really bizarre game because Florida State dominated that game for three quarters. And all of a sudden, I don't know what that defensive coordinator for FSU was thinking of, but, man, he's dropping people back way in coverage, and that played right into the hands of finally Dimbrock said, hey, listen, we're going to throw it short, and they ate him alive afterwards.
Yeah, they did. That quick passing game was really, really effective there the last, 18 minutes of the game. That's when you saw LSU go using tempo and running up to the line quickly. And Jaden Daniels said, the slower we go, the more that we allowed them to go out there and make the calls and dial up the pressure they really wanted to. And once they started going fast and snapping the ball with more than 20 seconds on the play clock, not letting it tick down all the way to like five, that's when they started having some success. And that's probably what LSU's going to need to do the rest of the year. As bad as of a game this was, maybe that showed what this offense is going to have to do in order to be successful. If you're looking for a silver lining, maybe that's one of them.
Now, Wilson, I thought overall, now they did get beat, the trick play and the, reverse flea flicker type play and then, the great catch. But I thought the outside cornerbacks did overall pretty good job. What was your take on them?
Yeah, we didn't end up paying too much attention to them in this game, right? But that's probably a good thing if you're not talking about them a ton. Colby Richardson held his own. Mekhi Garner, other than getting sucked, in on the flea flicker, he didn't give up any huge plays. Jarek Bernard-Converse, the touchdown pass that put Florida State up 17-3, he was in coverage there, but that was a really good catch. On the Florida State receiver, and sometimes you have to kind of tip your cap a little bit on that one. Mekhi had a good tip in the end zone using his length, and so yeah, they ended up playing pretty well. And this was without Seven Banks, and so they're really only rotating three guys, so they had to play a lot of snaps. And they ended up doing a decent job. You know, Florida State doesn't necessarily have like a game breaker at receiver, but they've got some decent players at that spot. And LSU's corners held their own, certainly, and didn't really allow anything other than that flea flicker again to get over the top.
Wilson, at the running back position, you really didn't get a lot of yardage rushing the football. A lot of times you get hit in the backfield. So it's hard to grade out that running back spot. We know John Emery won't play against Southern. When John comes back, do you think he's going to be inserted in there as the starter immediately? Or is it he's got to beat out Noah Cain?
Yeah, it's interesting. We don't really know yet, to give you the shortest answer on that. This had already turned into a running back by committee situation. Brian Kelly said back in spring that it would be. And Noah Cain was getting a lot of the reps in the first team, though, of course, you know, maybe that was a product of John, you know, knowing that he was going to miss two games. If John Emery, though, can be the explosive guy that we saw in the spring, and, you know, you don't want to make too much out of spring practice ever because that's really rarely reflective of anything that shows up in the fall, but he really looked good. And if he can get back to that kind of player and do that, then, you know, maybe he can overtake it. But either way, this is going to be a running back by committee situation. Brian Kelly said early this preseason that we don't have Leonard Fournette in that backfield. They're going to be relying on those four different guys, you know, Emery, Armani Goodwin, Josh Williams, and Noah Cain, and trying to kind of use them at the right times and deploying them all in different situations.
Now, Wilson, what is your take? Okay, you're the coach, you're the special teams coach. Does Malik Nabers, you giving that a chance to return punts? Because we all know, you get the ball in his hands, but you got to catch it first. I mean, and that right there, you cannot afford. First things first, you cannot have two fumbled punts without even, you know, fielding it. I mean, that can't happen. So what direction do you think they go with that going forward?
They are going to probably make a change at punt returner. Brian Kelly did not mince words about that after the game, saying that they are going to reevaluate that situation and that he said, you know, we thought that he could do it and he, paraphrasing here a little bit, said that, you know, he couldn't do it. And that's on us. That was an evaluation that we missed. And so Malik is probably not going to be your punt returner next week against Southern. You know, maybe he gets a chance later in the season if he can go out and practice again and prove himself. But he's going to have to show that he can do the basic stuff, just catch the fair catches before he gets back out there. They're going to make a change at punt returner. Who it's going to be, we'll see. Sage Ryan is probably the next man up at that spot. He's fairly dynamic with the ball at times. And you say Besh?
Besh.
Well, Sage Ryan was the next man up in the preseason. So I would think that he's probably your next guy here coming into week two.
Well, you know, Wilson, you don't want to get to the point where coach is hollering, I just want somebody who's going to catch. I don't care if we don't get a return, a fair catch, whatever, because sometimes you get to that point where I know even the Saints, they've done that with Jarius Bird. They did it with Lance Moore sometimes.
Yeah.
That, hey, just go field the punt, not 99 out of 100, 100 out of 100. It doesn't matter if you don't get any yards, but, you know, you want to have a guy back there who can catch it and, you know, get, you know, average, you know, 10, 11, 12 yards of return. But, that's something. I don't care who you play, and it's even amazing that LSU being minus one but two fumbled punt returns, that they're even in that game.
Yeah, it was kind of not even throwing in a blocked field goal and a blocked extra point.
Yeah.
That you're still there. Why I said Besh was he told me in the offseason, I want to convince Brian Kelly that I can return punts and kicks. It's an interesting shot. Now the door is open, and who you brought up in Sage Ryan, he's had some experience certainly in doing so, but Besh, I think, was sort of lobbying, so I think you might see him out there at least try out, so to speak.
And Wilson, I want you to comment on what I was saying. Okay, if somebody had told you before the game LSU was going to have two fumble punt returns, and deep, you look where they were at, and we'd have had a field goal block and an extra point block, what would you have thought? You probably wouldn't have thought it'd be a one-point game,
no,
right?
No, he'd have called me and said, Mike, where can I place that bet on Florida State?
I'll start with the best thing just real quick. You know, it wouldn't be a shock necessarily if he got a chance to return. You know, Jackie's a competitor. That did not come as a surprise that he was lobbying for that. Also, you know, he was out and or at least limited for most of the preseason, so that might help explain why he wasn't part of that group returning punt. So maybe now that he's fully back, he gets a chance. We'll see. But Sage Ryan, I think, was still the backup at that position, okay, and will probably get the first crack. As for what you said about whether or not they would be able to have a one-point game with all that went wrong on special teams, no, I would not have expected that. It was kind of incredible that they even had a chance there at the end, because this was a disastrous performance on special teams, and that's maybe putting it lightly. This did not go well at all, and LSU's going to have to get back to the drawing board on special teams, because these are little things that should not happen and probably can be addressed fairly quickly, but you also would have thought that this was an issue coming into the season.
Wilson, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, we really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of Labor Day, and it never ends. Never ends at LSU. That'll be something come up tomorrow, Wednesday. You can bank on it. But we appreciate you coming on with us this Labor Day Monday.
Thank you, Wilson.
Thanks for having me, y'all. Have a good rest of your night.
All right. Wilson Alexander, who covers the LSU Fighting Tigers football team for the Advocate, and I guess how you call it, New Orleans Advocate, Baton Rouge Advocate. But he covers LSU for the newspaper on the Advocate. And we'll be back with more Second Guess right after this news break here on the Big 870.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.